Father God, I truly do thank you and I praise you this morning. We truly do stand in your presence. And Father God, we are human beings trying our very best to do what your word tells us to do. I thank you, Father, for your songs. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, and your angelic host. And Father God, I know that all of heaven is here in this room this morning with us. And I know, Father God, you're looking down from your throne. And that you are smiling upon your children. Now I'm asking you, Father, to open the ears of our understanding. Let us see into the spirit realm, Father God, as you see. And let it give us wisdom to know as you know. Let us take in your teaching this morning, Father. And let us draw truly closer to you. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know that it's harder and harder to stay walking with God? In other words, the battle's getting tough. I'm not saying we're not walking with God. It's just getting harder to stay on course with God. And the enemy's doing everything he can to tear us apart, to make us believe we're not worthy. And if we make one little mistake, he just blows it up into a big mountain. So we have to know who we are in Christ. And we have to move on in Christ, knowing that he's in control of all things. The battle is raging, and we can't say it isn't. But God is also in control. And he's trying to get his children to the place where it doesn't matter. See, I picked this up during praise and worship. Some of the prophetic words that God's given me to put out, each day. They're saying that if you haven't already, crossed over, then you're not going to cross over. And he said, some of you are using it as an excuse to stay in your sins. And he said, it's not going to work. If you read the word, when the children crossed over, they didn't cross over sinless. But they worked at being sinless after they crossed over. So, body of Christ, we cannot use any excuse. We know who we are in Christ, I hope. And we know that what the enemy's doing, I hope. And I hope that we hold tightly to God's hand and just keep marching forward. I can see what God's doing with the praise and worship. I saw that today as we were singing. he had us do jumpy songs, dancey songs, because he wanted us to get filled full of his joy. And now we're full. If we're not full of his joy, then it's your problem, not God's. And now we're supposed to be full of the joy of the Lord. And now what God is doing, what's he been telling us to do? Become up hither. Become intimate with him where the enemy cannot separate us. So the songs that we'll be singing, if you notice, are going to be intimate songs. And then the song at the end was Come to the River. He was really singing soft songs, and I stuck that song in there because that's the way God wanted it. Because this morning we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And if you don't go to the river and get the Holy Spirit, then you're going to have one battle after the other. Excuse me. In fact, if you don't get the Holy Spirit, then I don't know what you're going to do. Because God says it's now time, Spirit's calling unto Spirit. And if you read the word, it tells you that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're lost. I didn't say you go around talking in tongues. I didn't say that. I said if you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, then you're lost. So let's go into this teaching this morning, and I called it Be Ye Filled. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving or hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. So it was the Holy Spirit that was brooding, hovering. It wasn't God, it was the Holy Spirit. But then we know God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit are one, right? Now, God says, my Holy Spirit is who I am. Just as my son Jesus did only what he saw me do and said only what I told him to say, so it is with my Holy Spirit. See that? You know, first it was God, right? Then it was Jesus. Then he had to go to the cross. And then came the Holy Spirit. And God told me a couple years ago that that's how it worked. But because the church was walking and stepping all over his Holy Spirit, he was coming again. So God is here now, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. But God is in control, and God is setting the church straight. People don't like to be confronted, but God will confront you at every step until he gets you where he wants you to be. People don't want to change, but God has been saying, if you don't change, then you're not mine. So you're going to have to change if God is going to use you for anything. And I don't care if you get mad at me or not. That's what the Word of God says. All right. I'm just the messenger. Now, let's go to God says, my son said, and in John 14, chapter verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by or through me. If you had known me, had learned to recognize me, you would also have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. In other words, Jesus was saying, when you see me and watch me in action, you're seeing the Father, because we two are one. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father, that is all we ask. Then we shall be satisfied. Just like the church, you know, they always want to see something before they're satisfied, right? Jesus replied, have I been with all of you for so long a time, and do you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? The body of Christ is the very same way. Some of you have been following, you've been in the way for about 30 years, and you still don't know Jesus. How many of us can honestly say we sat in the house of God thinking we knew what the Word was saying, thinking that we knew Jesus, but all of a sudden when the Holy Spirit started dealing with us and moving through us, we realized we didn't really know Jesus at all. We just knew his name. Somebody said, Jesus loves you. And that's all you really knew, that Jesus loves you. Now God is trying to get us to know him in his fullness. Verse 10 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord. But the Father who lives continually in me does his works and his own miracles or deeds of power. Who does the works? The Father who lives continually in me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. In other words, if you can't believe that God's in Jesus and Jesus in God, then just look at the works that Jesus did and believe that. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things. Now let's read this again and listen to what you're reading. Jesus said, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. He said, if you just believe in Jesus and believe in the Father, you're going to do the same things that Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He went around teaching repentance, and Jesus went around with great signs, wonders, and miracles following him. He cast out devils. And he's saying, if you really believe me, you're going to do the very same thing. You know, I really get tired of trying to convince people that Jesus is real and that we need to follow him. You know, we need to follow Jesus, receive him as our Lord and Savior, and follow him. I shouldn't have to convince you of that. If somebody just told you Jesus is real, then just believe it and go on and start following him. But you have to keep trying to convince people that they need to get saved. God spoke to me as I'm praying this morning. God said, I will not always strive with man. And I know that God's finished striving with the church. Either you have received Jesus or you haven't. And either you're following him and changing or you're not. All right? God went on to say, children, it is way past time to allow my Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. My Holy Spirit is there to help you. He will guide you in the way you should go, and he is your comforter. See that? He will lead you in great signs, wonders, and miracles. Does not my word tell you that I am a miracle-working God? Does not my word tell you that you are walking in the dispensation time of miracles? Acts chapter 2 should be manifesting wherever you roam. You should never go anywhere without the signs, wonders, and miracles occurring. Okay, God, this is still God speaking. Okay, I said all that, and now I want to ask you a question. Why are signs, wonders, and miracles not following you wherever you go? Why is it that you no longer see into the spirit realm and see all things as I see them? I'm going to tell you right now, God has opened up the spirit realm where we can see into the spirit realm. Lately, when he's had me prophesy, I see into the spirit realm and I can see that person and see exactly who they are and exactly what they're doing. You know, you're missing out on a whole lot of God if you're not walking in the spirit. And you're going to walk around in great confusion if you don't start seeing into the spirit realm and seeing the things that God wants us to see. Could it be that there is sin in the camp? Because he said, why is it that you no longer see into the spirit realm and see all things as I see them? Then he says, could it be that there is sin in the camp? Could it be that you will not pay the ultimate price to walk in the miracle-working power of my son, Jesus? Then he says, I believe I have hit upon the problem, and I'm asking you to turn and change. Why? So I can use you in the miracle-working power of heaven. I'm sorry, guys. Some of you sitting in here, you might even have top positions, but you're not where God wants you to be. You're not walking in the miracle-working power that God wants you to walk in, or you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. You have to come to grips with that this morning. You have to change in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. You can no longer stay the way you are. I watch the marriages in here, and I see you flip-flop. One day, you're happy, you have your head laying on your husband's shoulder. Next thing, you can't get far enough away from them. See, that is not godly. What is going on in your home to cause the flip-flopping? You're not walking in the spirit, or you wouldn't flip-flop like that. Come on. Jesus, God said, my son Jesus is still alive and well, and he is still interceding for you. Children, do you not understand that there is a time and season for everything? And now is the time for the miracles to occur. Right now, God wants miracles to be occurring everywhere we go. Come on. And he's already started this. We just have to walk in it. Somebody came to my house last night, you know, and they said, I need to hug you. And so, you know, I hugged them. And they said, well, they hugged them. They said, please pray because I'm having my trouble with my heart. And so I did. I prayed, and the person went like that. And they said, something just went through me. I'm believing that as we hugged, the Spirit of God left me and went into that person, and God healed that heart. Are you understanding this? You're going to be tried. Your faith is going to be tried. Your walk with God is going to be tried. The devil's going to put situations in front of you that's, you know, you're going to think you're unsaved. But we have to keep moving. We have to keep doing the things God is calling us forth to do. The people are hurting out there. They're really hurting, and they need to, they want to be in your presence because they want to feel secure. And when you're walking in the Spirit of God, they feel secure because the Spirit of God just oozes out around about them. Are you understanding this? You know, and they want to be near you. They want to touch you because they want to feel God. Is that where you're at this morning? Do people feel God when you're around them? You know, and feeling God is a couple of different ways. It could convict them and they get mad at you because the Spirit of God in you is convicting them that what they're doing is wrong. And they don't want to be convicted, so they want to get as far away from you as they can get. I know this because people have told me that. When I'm around you, you upset me. I just need to get away from you. It isn't me. It's the Spirit of God. See, you need to understand it's never you. It's the Spirit of God in you. If you're right, then you'll draw them to you. And if they're not right, then they'll want to get away from you as quick as they can. All right? Do you understand this? You have the responsibility to make sure that the Spirit of God is always strong within you to do the works that God needs done in people, other people, not you, but other people. You should be the carrier of the Holy Spirit so God can use you to heal. And you heal in many different ways, right? God went on to say, how are the hospitals going to empty out if you are not ready to be vessels of honor that I can work through? Children, you are still living in the twilight zone, and you want me to shine my light upon you and approve of your half-hearted walk with me. I tell you a truth. You are not walking in the holiness that I have called you to walk in. You are still dabbling in sin. You are still placing other gods before me. Other gods could be anything. It could be the TV set. It could be food. It could be the games everybody plays. Could be your cell phone. These are all other gods. You don't have time for God because you're too busy doing the other things. Somebody said, well, I can eat and study. Yeah, I've heard that too. Now, that's the spirit of glutton. And you're just sort of sitting there eating while you're studying. I know I've been there. Come on. You know, I'd be sitting there and say, God, I really need to hear from you. I'd reach over and grab a cracker. He said, how are you going to hear while you're chewing? Yeah, I've done it. I know what I'm talking about. He said, do you want me or do you want the cracker? We went from the nut to the cracker now, Brother Allen. You know? And I know you in here have done the very same thing that I have done. And don't say you haven't, or we'll have to wash you in the water. All right, where am I at here? I don't even know where I'm at, Nancy. You have not allowed me to wash your eyes with the eye salve of heaven. You have not allowed me to wash you with the water of my word, nor have you allowed me into the center of your heart. Read that again. You have not allowed me to wash your eyes with the eye salve of heaven. You have not allowed me to wash you with the water of my word, nor have you allowed me into the center of your heart. Your garments are tainted, and my word tells you that I'm coming after abide without spot nor wrinkle. Why do you keep thinking my word lies? It does not lie. My word tells you my word was written by holy men inspired by the Holy Spirit. in 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Read that again. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, you can't twist the Bible to suit you. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God said, absolutely nothing is done unless the Holy Spirit is there to accomplish all things. Did I not tell you a decade ago that I was no longer into religion? It was Spirit calling unto Spirit. I meant what I said then, and I still mean it today. My Holy Spirit came upon my children after my son departed this earth the first time, and he remained to complete his job of leading my spirit, leading my people. Before Jesus died, only Jesus had the Holy Spirit. After Jesus died, then the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. Didn't even have the Holy Spirit. To after Jesus died. They walked with him hand in hand for 3.5 years, but they did not have the Holy Spirit. Some people think whenever you shout and scream and kick your feet and carry on that you have the Holy Spirit, no, that's your flesh wanting to act up. If you notice, the Holy Spirit's quiet and gentle. And I don't, you know, you might go, whoop. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit. But some of the things I hear is not the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and I'm not judging, but you need to go to God and say, am I really walking in the Spirit, or is this my flesh wanting to act like I walk in the Spirit? Right? You know, I watch the flaggers when they'll be sitting there and they'll be singing. All of a sudden, they jump up and run and grab a flag and start dancing. And you can feel the anointing. They don't flag until the Holy Spirit hits them with the anointing to flag. And as they flag, if you really just enter into God, that anointing is flagged through the building. This is why we won't let anybody flag if they're in sin, because I don't want your sin flagged all over me. You know? All right, John 16:7 says, however, this is Jesus speaking, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. Into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. In other words, Jesus said to his disciples, you know, guys, I really have to go. I have to do this. I have to die. Because if I don't, you won't get the Holy Spirit. And he won't be able to lead, guide, and direct you in fellowship with you. In verse 8, Jesus goes on to say, and when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. Uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me, trust in, rely on, and adhere to me. About righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler, evil genius, prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned and sentenced already, is passed upon him. You know, Satan's already been judged. He's already going to spend, you know, eternity in hell. Guys, I wish you would understand that you need the Holy Spirit to get through these trying times that we're entering into. And as we draw, you know, with the intimate love songs we're going to be singing, as we let those songs just saturate us, God's going to draw us right on up into the heavenly realm. And we're not going to want to sin and carry on anymore. You know, I always read, well, I don't always, every now and then I read about Jay Bartlett, and every time he delivers somebody, they go to heaven. And they see all these wonderful things in heaven. And I'm saying, God, I haven't heard anybody you guys have delivered say they went to heaven. And I'm really questioning God, why is this? That there's something in Jay Bartlett's ministry that whenever they go through deliverance and really get delivered, they go to heaven and talk to Jesus. They're totally, completely changed. But that's his ministry. That's an anointing that's upon his ministry, and I know that. So we need to have this same type of anointing. We don't want desire his anointing, because God said that's not right. But we have to desire to have an anointing that will draw people to Christ and set them totally and completely free, where they can fellowship with the Father. Verse 13 says, Jesus saying, but when he, I read it, didn't it? Verse 14 says, he will honor and glorify me, the Holy Spirit will honor and glorify Jesus, because he will take of or receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, or disclose, transmit it to you. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals things to you. It's not your little mind. You know, it's not an angel. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals things to you. If you would just take time and sit in the presence of God, instead of doing your sin, take time and sit in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit will come and he'll minister to you. Somebody came to the house the other night and they wanted a word. And I said, right now, you know, everything's so hectic. It was 12 o'clock at night. But I said, everything's so hectic. I'm still trying to do the kids' schoolwork. And I says, could we just do it tomorrow? Well, they started talking about themselves. I said, please don't do that. I don't want to know anything about you, because when God speaks to you, I want it to be only God and not something you just told me. Well, they kept right on, and all of a sudden God started speaking. And I said, just shut up. I did. I said, shut up. And I said, God's going to speak to you. So God then spoke to this person, and this person was all excited because God spoke right into this situation. But as soon as God was done speaking, the person started again. I said, you know, it's time you go, because I have to do schoolwork here. But why do you do that? You don't need to start speaking after God speaks to you. Just shut up and go home. Enjoy the presence of God. And you'll go over what he said to you. Because you came and asked for a word at 12 o'clock, you know, at night. So just take it and go. And God spoke a positive word into this person's life. And as it's going out the door, they said, well, I'm going to try to believe that. I like to boot them out the door. I said, no, you don't try to believe it. God just said it. Now, walk in what God said. Now, see, no Holy Spirit there. Still, and God spoke to them, you always try to do things your way. You never put me into the mix. And your way has to stop, because I want to be in control. But as they're going out the door, still trying to figure out how they're going to do it their way. So did you want to hear from God or not? You know? So verse 15, Jesus says, everything that the Father has is mine. You know, it's Jesus's. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal the secrets of heaven to you. He wants to reveal everything that Jesus did, and so that you understand it. And are not walking around saying, I wonder why he did that, you know. You know, when you read the word, even if you just let the Holy Spirit in the mix, you will understand your word. A lot of you are like me, I believe, when you first picked up the Bible, you know, you just read it. It was just a book. But then after you realize, hey, this isn't just a story book, this is real life activity here. And then the Holy Spirit, you learn to ask the Holy Spirit to come in, and while you was reading the word, then it became alive to you, and then you wanted to read it, right? Come on. But a lot of people don't think they need the Holy Spirit, and that's fine. You just keep on doing your thing your way, and you won't go to heaven. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right, then God went on to say, man will not be able to manifest signs, wonders, and miracles. It takes the anointing, indwelling of my Holy Spirit that causes all these things to come to pass. I'm sorry, you are not going to be able to cause signs, wonders, and miracles to occur. Unless you have, you're walking with the Antichrist, and the Antichrist does come with great signs, wonders, and miracles. But it's not going to get you anywhere. God said, my word always tells you of the My word always tells you the Antichrist who comes with all signs. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is through the activity and working of Satan and will be attended by great power and with all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and elusive marvels, all of them lying wonders. And by unlimited seduction to evil and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, going to perdition because they did not welcome the truth but refused to love it that they might be saved. You know, I really stand on that scripture and where I cry out to God, God, don't let me grow weary in well-doing, because I really, right now, I'm getting sick and tired of trying to pour the love of God into people and they really don't want it. They still want to walk in their cold, seductive ways of the devil. And I really have to go to the river quite often so I don't grow weary in well-doing. I spent a lot of time this week going to the river, because I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy's working really hard and he's really destroying lives. God went on to say, did I not tell you that the Antichrist were already on the scene? The Antichrist sit in the sanctuaries all over this great land. They stand in the pulpits. They are in the government. They are in the businesses and in schools. They are all over. Children, do not be deceived. You cannot do the works that I speak of as long as you have a small portion of the Antichrist within you. Some of you in here, you're trying to, you have positions in the church and you're trying to act like you have the Spirit, and you don't have the Spirit in its fullness. Truth. It's just truth. Now, if you can't stand that, then you really need to go to the river and get dunked. The enemy has come in some way, somehow, and he has enticed you to believe that you're it. You're okay. And that's not true. I'm going to tell you, really following God and really walking the Spirit, you're going to spend an awful lot of times on your knees repenting and crying out to God for strength to do the things that you have to do that you don't want to do. Right? There are so many that think they are going to heaven to be with, this is God speaking, with the Godhead, but they refuse my Holy Spirit. Therefore, they cannot enter into the open doors in heaven. God speaking, not me. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequence of sin. God says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the one thing that's one sin that you can't commit. Once we are saved, we should also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which it is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We don't do that. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby John, young John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist was born filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you in here this morning that are following God, you might have been born filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's why you went down the road of faithfulness to God that you went down, because the Holy Spirit continued to led God and directed you, it would not let you go down the side roads. So don't think you're all that and then some, because the Holy Spirit led you there, all right? Just thank God that you didn't get caught up in some of the things of the world. All right, Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit, or are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? You know, he said, oh, you foolish Galatians, you used to walk in the Spirit, and you don't have the Spirit any longer. And you're trying to finish your race in the flesh. Don't be one of those. If you have the Spirit, keep it. Pay the price. Do whatever you have to do, but keep it. Please don't lose the Holy Spirit. Please. God said, maybe you should be saying, I started out with the Spirit. When do you think I dropped it? You know, you need to be asking yourself that question. Okay, I started out with the Spirit, but now I'm walking in the flesh. You know, you guys who are truly know God and been with God a long time and been walking in the Spirit, your constant prayer should be, God, don't ever let me walk out of the Spirit. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Are you listening? I don't know if you've ever been filled with, you know, walking in the Spirit, continuing, all of a sudden the Spirit's quiet. You feel so dry and so empty. And you feel like you're walking dead, a dead man walking. And you cry out to God every day, God, please, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I don't know why you're making me walk down in this dry valley, but please don't take your Spirit from me. I've been there and done that many times. God's had me walk on dry ground sometimes. Always a lesson in it. And you don't feel the Holy Spirit when you're there. Well, at least I didn't. And I felt like I was dead, just existing. And then one day the Holy Spirit was alive and well again within me. He's always been alive and well. But he's been alive and well within me. God says, what makes you think you can be any otherwise? You're walking in such delusion, little ones, and I'm about to come to bring my glorious bride back home with me. Will you be one of those? The only way you can be his glorious bride is if you're walking in the Spirit. Generally, it's going to happen. In Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 9 says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized with John in the Jordan. Jesus came and was baptized by John the Baptist. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Who sent him into the wilderness? It wasn't the devil. It was the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness. And Jesus was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. You know, when I was typing this, I thought about, you know, we go through our trials and tribulations, we moan and groan and complain. But if we would just remember this scripture, it says, Jesus was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. And one version said the angels ministered to him constantly. And so if we can just understand it, no matter what we're going through, that the angels are there ministering to us, we'll be able to go through that trial, tribulation, temptation, whatever it is you're going through, with complete joy. Knowing that we, see, Jesus knew he had to go to the wilderness to be tempted so that when he came back to do his ministry, because as soon as this happened, he went right into his ministry, so that whenever he came back to do his ministry, that he was already been tempted, and so he could preach with honesty and sincerity that God has made a way out of every temptation. See this? The last scripture is Mark 1:14. Now after John was put in prison, you know, John the Baptist, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, what was John's commission in life? He was in the wilderness crying out, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come." And then whenever it's time for Jesus' ministry to start, they put John the Baptist in prison. And so what did Jesus' ministry say? "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." He had the very same message that John the Baptist had. And God told me years ago that we are the second John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. So what is our message going to be? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And people say, "Well, you just preach too hard." No, we're preaching exactly what Jesus did whenever he took over after John the Baptist was killed. Why was John the Baptist killed? He was beheaded because he told a king that he was committing adultery with his brother's wife, and she was mad about that, so she wanted his head on a platter. A fickle woman got John the Baptist killed. But then it had to happen that way. You know, it had to happen that way in order for scripture to be fulfilled. All right, Jesus had to be filled with the Spirit. You know, that's when he came up out of the water, being baptized, the Spirit came on him. He had to be filled with the Spirit to start his ministry of miracles, and we are no different. We are absolutely no different. You love God. You want to serve God, but yet there's something holding you back where you can't put all of yourself into God. It's because you are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit in its fullness. This morning, the altar call is all about coming up and allowing God to fill you with the Holy Spirit in its fullness, so that then you have the power, and the authority to fight the enemy that's trying to keep you in bondage.